Indeed you do. So I'm back from the wedding.
I know. How was it? How was it going?
Well, they got wed.
Yeah.
They did.
Congratulations.
They wedded it. Yeah. And that night, I was out till, I think it was about 4:30.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because like they there was a nightclub a couple of doors down from the hotel. And they had like rented out, or like he knew the person in the VIP area. It was on this balcony. And we was on there for like hours. And I think...
Jesus Christ, what happened then?
I think I got newfound respect from the groom.
All right, okay. Well, for just like stopping up really late.
No, because I knew a lot of words to Lethal Bizzle and Dizzy Rascal songs. I went, that song came on, Duke. Nuts. I went fucking crazy when that song came on.
Man, I want to see a video of that.
Yeah, and Leroy was like, he said to Tara, who are cousins, like my girlfriend's cousin Leroy, that's who got married. He said like, yo, I didn't know Mike knew so many lyrics, you know. I'm like, yeah, that's straight.
I see, he knows his shit. Yeah. Do people not know you know your shit?
Might I'm see me in a Lambo. Tomorrow.
I mean, seriously.
Camo snap.
You might see me in a Lambo.
Rambo.
Camo snap back. Rambo. 500 horses. Django. 2-2 chicken. Nando. You might see me in a Rari.
I'll tell you what.
Old school fella.
I was just going to say, just before we start, Stulek's putting some really weird stuff in the chat because he's putting...
He's going to cut the grass. What's more weird about
does
that?
Does he really need himself? He's put, do we really need Stu? Well, I guess we don't.
I think he's talking about you.
Grass. He's talking about himself,
well, my friend. I'll save this for the show, but there's a YouTube clip that I really want Duke to play. I keep forgetting. Yep. This YouTube... Not that one. Yep.
Yep.
What? Should we just do it now? Because, like, you know, it seems to be like the fucking about section of the show, and we haven't even started.
Well, we always have a fucking about section.
We're going to cut all this out anyway, so.
Yeah, of course. I'll just cut all this out.
That people are going to want to listen to this garbage?
Exactly. It'll just be cut out, man. What's the matter?
Yeah.
Duke. So this.
Chitty.
Shut up.
Duke.
This is about this video. It's like a bell. I don't know where it is. I think if I scrolled down, it would tell me. But it's a bell somewhere in America. I don't know where it is. Right. But it swings round, and it's sort of like an illusion because the momentum of the pivot that it's on caters for the, you know, the little thing in the bell that makes the noise.
Yeah.
So you can't. So the bell rocks, but it doesn't make a sound. Right. So it's like a sort of kind of like a cool illusion thing. So it the bell's rocking, but it doesn't make any sound. And somebody made this video.
All right, let's listen.
Okay.
The bell, it makes no sound, but it keeps tolling. Who does the bell toll for? It tolls for thee.
I watched that about. That's weird. I reckon I watched that about once or twice a week.
It's just weird.
It's good.
Who does the bell toll for?
You know that's a reference to Shakespeare.
No.
Yes. Now, I will give a special prize to the first person who in the chat identifies which Shakespeare play it
Hamlet
is from. No, not you. First of all, employees of the Veteran Gamers podcast are barred from participating. Second of all, I said in the chat.
Oh, okay. Was that wrong? I'm guessing it was
third,
wrong.
It's wrong.
Oh, there you go then. That's fine then, isn't
who
it? It doesn't matter.
The bell toll for?
Right. Are we ready to start?
I've been ready.
Well, let's do it then.
You ready, Chinny?
Let's do it.
Wordplay! Welcome, y'all, to the Veteran Gamers. Juju, Chinny, and the fellas will tell you about every single game that you're playing this week.
Yep. Yep.
Stu story time and Chinny's game breakers. Here comes Duke with the soundbite saviors.
Ah! Yeah, I'm Leap for the beat.
Gamers. Ah! It's the veteran gamers.
Not again!
switch that console off before you have to press repeat, y'all.
Yep. Yep.
Hello,
he got you.
I know he got me. Damn it! Hello and welcome to show 281 of the Veteran Gamers Podcast.
Yay, 281! We're having fun. Welcome everybody.
Welcome everybody.
I'm Duke.
I'm Stu. Brilliant. That's the weirdest name ever.
My name is Mike Chin.
Ah, there you go. There you go. So, can I just check with you, Chinny? I could be wrong here. Can I just check?
Yep.
When we came in and I was in the chat, obviously we couldn't see the previous bits of chat, but there was talk of mortgages. Is that related to you?
Yeah, that's true.
And what's happening? What's happening, man? Update.
Is this mortgage update?
Yeah, what's the mortgage update? What's happening?
Mortgage update. So, I could hear people switching off their iPhones and Samsung phones as we speak.
In a very camp way.
Alright, I am switching this off. It is no longer about video games. Fuck these three.
What's
okay.
The bell toll for?
Exactly.
now you...
yes! You know what I did do? I introduced that clip, but I didn't introduce it to you as you should make this a sound clip.
Yeah,
I let you figure that out. No. I let you figure that one out yourself. We've been viewing more houses. Now, we viewed a few more houses yesterday, which was Saturday for us. But you're listening to this in 2018 by the time Stu posts it. And
about the same as your video from the arcade club.
Is that what you're saying, man? Oh, snap.
You know what that is? You know what that is, Duke? There's a clip for that.
I can't find it. Where is all my stuff? Sucks.
Oh god!
I know, right?
Carry on.
Right.
Oh, here it is.
Shots fired!
Sorry. Edit that right to make it look like I did it right.
I'll try not.
As I gently skip over that insult and avoid that subject. We were looking for houses, right? And we went to a few houses. A couple were okay, and all, but. We went to one guy's house, all right, and it was an old man, and it looked like...
There was a dead body in the bathroom?
It could be a bargain, to be honest. A bargain. No,
it ain't a bargain, because it was like... it was more than the budget allowed, right? And every room in the house needed doing again, because it
did
was...
Did he have wood chip? Was the wood chip?
He'd lived in the house for 59 years, right?
Jesus.
And he looks like he didn't decorate when he moved in since then. Bless him. He was a very nice, sweet old man. I did make the joke, but I don't think he heard it, where we was in the conservatory thing, right? And he saw there's a hatch down there. And I said, is that where you keep your dead bodies? Bear in mind, this bloke was like 8-3 years old. Right? So I was like... I don't think he got that one. But it was quite a nice house, but he just needed doing up.
Was it in a nice area? Was it big?
Yeah. It was all good.
Well, that's why it was still expensive. You know what I mean? That's what you get.
I know, but there's other houses in the same area that you get a lot more for, and they're more done out. Blah 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 blah. But no mortgage yet. Stulecki was saying, oh, like, you know, hurry up and marry the girl. Jim, because of the new watch that I have. She bought me a watch.
I saw the watch.
We have been together 11 years today.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. So it's been a while. Ask me what I got her.
What'd you get her?
Nothing, I'll bet.
Didn't get her anything. I took her to Liverpool last year.
You're real diva like the flaws.
It's true.
She knew what she was up to when she started dating you.
I'll get her something. But
that's like half. Do you know what's weird about that? That is half as long as I've been married.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, 22 years, man. That's a long time.
So she got me a very nice watch, and then she, like he said, or rip a Maria, and then I said, well, we're getting a mortgage. That's basically a marriage, isn't it?
A house is like a ring.
Right, before we start, I have got a public, like, information thing that I need
before
to share.
Before we
with
start,
you.
We have the theme song, and then
I know.
No,
before we start,
time.
All right, okay.
It's story time.
Okay, I'll rephrase that. Before we start getting into video games.
Oh, yeah, it's coming, people. Just hang on.
It is. It's coming. Yeah, I've got a public information for men. This is specifically aimed at men, but women will know of this product. We'll know. Basically, this is a real-life review on Amazon, okay, for Veet for Men Hair Removal Gel Cream 200 milliliters.
Right.
Okay.
Just, Stu randomly finds reviews and reads them.
It's been given 5 stars, and he says, this is the title, Do Not Put on Knob and Bollocks.
How did I know it was going to have something to do with genitals?
And this is what he says. Here goes the review. Being a loose cannon, who does not play by the rules? The first thing I did was ignore the warning and smear this all over my knob and bollocks. The bollocks I knew and loved are now gone. In their place is a maroon-coloured bag of agony, which sends stabs of pain up my body every time it grazes against my thigh or an article of clothing. I am suffering so that you don't have to. Heed my lesson. Do not put on knob and bollocks. I am giving this product a 5 because despite the fact I think my bollocks might fall off, they are now completely hairless. So there you go.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we now know that.
Sure. If you get Veet for Men, don't put it on your knob and bollocks. Okay,
I don't think I was going to do this first thing you said, like get Veet for Men, let alone the second one. I'm going to do some housekeeping now, Stu. Housekeeping.
Yes, do the housekeping.
Housekeeping.
What does it toll for?
Who does the bell toll for? So, we love the listeners, Stu. We love
the listeners. It is true.
I don't.
It is true.
Shut up. Right. But we do. Right?
Duke hates everyone, so he doesn't speak English.
SOB.
We love it even more when they write in, email in, to the show.
Oh yeah,
so
we do love
we
that.
Don't usually shout out the people that email the show, but thank you so much for the people that email the show. podcast@veterangamers.co.uk. you can ask us anything you want, even how shaved Stu is down there if you want to.
It's true.
Completely, you know, it's all go. We don't really advertise the speak pipe. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook.
I'm tidy man.
We have a thing called a website, and you need a browser to access that website. And there's a forum on there if you like to do things old school. And we're also on Twitch, and we're live broadcasting this on Twitch. So we just want to share some of the people that are in here talking away. That's Mike Old Cars is one person. Big Bad Daddy, Fletch, Gunslinger, Hartley Dan, Ian W., Sumu, Stu Lecky, and I think there were some others that I'm missing out. But thank you all for coming. And, yeah, you know, that's it, really.
That's it. See?
That
easy. It really is that easy. So, yeah.
Bam.
Yeah, and don't forget to leave us iTunes reviews. That's always good as well. You can
do that helps us rank and shit. So, I haven't listened to last week's show. How did it go? Yeah.
It was good. It got
Twitch
better when...
sucked.
Yeah, the Twitch stream did suck. And... yeah, you just messing around. I'll tell you what, Ginny, I'm glad you're back. No, that is seriously true. I'm not messing around here.
Well,
you know what I mean?
First of all, we have sound clips again.
We do. And second of all, you was just pissing around all the time. He was playing some weird shit on that stream, I'm telling you now.
Well, I did.
I'm surprised.
I flicked through the past broadcast. And I remember you and Armour was sort of talking about scones at one point. So all
we
of a
were,
sudden
that
he puts
true.
On a video where this woman's making scones.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, at least we have something to look at other than just this little placeholder image.
I honestly, it just beggars belief what he was up to, Ginny.
And
I'm surprised we didn't get sued by Fox for the amount of Simpsons clips he put up.
I know. And then there was that weird, like, psychedelic thing going on for ages.
Future Crew, second reality.
I don't know. People were just, like, zoning out and stuff. You know what I mean? I think it was hypnotizing the listeners.
Yeah. Having, like, seizures in front of their computer.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I'm just glad you're back. That's all I can say.
Well, you know.
There really isn't anything else to say about it. Just glad you're back, man.
We're all glad Chinny's back.
God, I missed you. I missed you, Chinny. God, I missed you, man. But no, other than that, it was good. Armar was good. He was good. He's always fun to have Armar on.
Not too good, I have.
No, he wasn't too good. He wasn't too good.
I don't want him mustering.
Although he did turn up on time, right? And although I can't really level that against you anymore, because you kind of always turn up on time these days.
I'm always on time these days.
You are. It is impressive.
Yeah.
But he did get the intro bit right, which you never do.
Well, that's the joke, isn't it?
I get the joke, but he just did. You know what I mean?
Someone say they wanted to hear The Second Reality by Future Crew?
Oh, God.
Yeah, crank it up.
That sounds it was made by 80s aliens.
It was. It is from the
80s. It probably was. It really was. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chinny, as you weren't here last week, I think you should kick off with all the shit you've been playing this week. What have you been playing?
I don't know if there's a condition for what I have, but I'll tell you what I have, right? When there are two pieces of music playing at the same time, my brain just seizes up.
It's like on Parks and Rec where they go, welcome to jazz plus jazz equals jazz. Here's a Miles Davis album played over a Cole Porter album. It's like our audience really likes jazz.
Well, if they didn't, they do now.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been playing... I haven't been playing a ton of stuff. The last game that I finished was The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which ironically wasn't so amazing. but I've said this before. I like to sort of space out my game. So what I like to do is to play something like that's quite long and then break it up with a nice like little shorter game. I've had a game sitting on my hard drive for a while, and that game is Max Curse of the Brotherhood. So,
okay.
Anybody know anything about this? Has anybody played this?
I've heard of it, but I've never played it.
No, I've heard it. Wasn't this a freebie on Xbox One or something?
This was a freebie. That's why it's sitting on my hard drive. It was one of the Xbox Gold games one of the weeks. And I don't know really what I had in mind. I always thought that it was going to be like a splunky sort of knockoff, I think. You know, or like a maybe like a more Metroidvania thing. Or, you know, I don't know. I knew it was a side-scroller, and that was pretty much it. And I have to say, I was very, very pleasantly surprised. Now, I'm going to say a word here. And you two are going to flip the shit out.
Uh-oh.
Get away.
Limbo.
No.
It's quite a strong endorsement.
That is a strong endorsement.
Imagine you got a Limbo game, but in like a Nickelodeon universe. Right? So you've got the mechanics of a Limbo game, and you've got like a Nickelodeon art style where you play a little kid called Max, and it's a very simple premise. Get this, right? Your little brother is annoying you, so you giggle, not Google, you giggle how to get rid of your brother, and he says this rhyme, and your brother gets sucked into another portal, another dimension, and you chase after him, and you have to save your brother.
Let me just put this in a nutshell. So, basically, you fuck your brother over, right?
Yes.
He gets transported into another portal, and you go, oh, shit, mum's going to be a bit mad. Yeah. I better go and get him back.
That's exactly it, yeah. And it's done pretty much as tongue-in-cheek as that. yeah, that's exactly it. So it's a side-scrolling game, and it's a puzzle side-scrolling game. and there is a slight different mechanic to Limbo. For people watching it on the Twitch feed right now, there is a marker, like a marker mechanic. So you have like this magic marker, right? And you meet a witch, and she gives your marker powers, right?
So you see, I'm looking at this now, and I'm thinking Kinect.
No, I don't know. At first, when you, to be honest, maybe it was sort of made for Kinect, but it works fine. It works perfectly fine for the controller.
Right.
And so what you can do with the marker is the different colors mean different things. So in the early parts of the game, you can raise like big, sort of, they look like big dildo columns out of the ground, and you can jump on these columns and they grant you access to higher platforms, right? But you can only do it in certain areas, like a little glowy orange part of the platform, part of the ground means you can, you know, lift up a column. And later on, you can do vines, you know, what you can swing off. And there's like twigs that you can move. So sometimes you have to draw a twig that's a circle, make it roll down, hit a platform, knock something over. So there's puzzle elements and you draw part of the environment. And I'm probably making it more complicated than it is because it introduces it very slowly each stage. And it's all done in a nice, really cool art style. And it's really, I really like it. I think it's fantastic.
I mean, I'm looking at it now, and it does look pretty colourful. And I like the, you know, we've had quite a lot of these types of 2D games on a 3D plane type games, haven't we? You know, and it does a good job of sort of giving depth, even though you're on a 2D plane.
Yeah, I haven't really heard much about anyone playing this game. There's no real combat in the game. You have to sort of avoid combat by using your magic marker to draw a twig to block the way. Later on in the game, there's these like really cool fireflies, right? And if one of them touch you, that's it. But you can block them with like vines and twigs and stuff. And you can,
right,
with a vine, because a vine is just a rope, right? And if you draw the vine down, it doesn't swing left or right because, you know, it spawns, you know, like vertical. But if you draw a vine horizontal, it will swing to wherever the pivot point is. So you can knock the fireflies out the way and move.
Right, okay,
out the way,
so it kind of uses the physics to sort of do that stuff.
So the physics are, everything you draw, it applies real life physics to it. And I'd say that's probably one of the detriments to the game where sometimes the physics don't play ball, or sometimes you figure out a puzzle and you sort of figure out by luck, because there's a twig thing that you can draw, and basically it's just a solid twig and you can draw it any shape you want, and you can draw it as a zigzag shape or a square or a circle to make it roll. And if you draw it as a square, you can climb up it, but sometimes it's really like, I mean, it reacts to the gravity so it can roll over, and it can be very difficult to sort of get up to a ledge that's meant to be, you know, reached by this twig thing. So sometimes the physics let you down a little bit.
Right,
and
okay.
And sometimes it does the Limbo thing of, like, there's no way you would have...
You could have predicted what was going to happen and end up dying.
Like you're going
away
down these slopes, like, you know, these diagonal slopes you're riding down, and these plants just eat you out of nowhere, and there's no way you would have figured that out.
I think that was one of the sort of very minor negative points I had about Limbo. You know, that did happen quite often.
There is a bit of that, and I mean, this game is certainly inspired by Limbo. You can tell, but it's a really cool art style. And there's an enemy on the screen now, and it's sort of like a spiked, like a really evil looking hedgehog, right? You know, it's got a really hard shell. It's got massive spikes coming out of it, and you can't do anything about it. You can't kill it. You can't attack it. So you have to, one of the stages is like you have to draw it out of the area that you're in. You know what I mean? You have to draw these twigs so it, you know, slides across these twigs, and then you make it fall, and then you drop it again, and you make a monster eat it and all sorts of stuff. So you know, it's really clever ways of getting rid of, there's no, you know, I really like the fact that they didn't just give you a hit button or something. They make you sort of try and avoid these enemies without combat. I think this game's fantastic. And if this game was sitting on your hard drive like it was on mine, and you were sort of like, maybe one day I'll give it a go and it might be all right,
Give it a go, people.
I was so shocked at the production level of this game. So a cute and sort of nice. The aesthetics are Max is his character. He's sort of like a funny little character, but he doesn't really say much. You know, he just says like the odd thing, like, you know, what to do here and all that. There's not a massive depth. There is like a little bad guy and these little collectibles, but these little eyes in the world that, and they're basically surveillance cameras. And you can pull them out, and every time you pull them out, or every like 10, I think like the enemy in the game, like the bad guy in the game, like say something. And so there is dialogue, there's fully voice acted, you know, characters and stuff. But all that's a minimal. And there's some great action scenes as well. There's a big monster that keeps chasing you throughout the game. And there's some great, you know, almost like Sonic the Hedgehog like moments where you just run. There's no other way out. But time slows down. And you can draw like a vine to save you to swing to the next bit, and it's really well done. I recommend it. I think anybody who's got this game and is sitting on their hard drive because they picked it up because it was free, I think they'll be pleasantly surprised with this one.
So very interesting. Isn't this? I think this is an Xbox exclusive, isn't it?
I think it is because they showed it at E3.
Yeah, I'm almost sure it is.
So I think it is an Xbox One exclusive. Maybe that's why it didn't get a lot of press, because, you know, the Xbox was sort of struggling at the time when this did well. So, I'm not saying it's completely perfect. There are some janky bits. There are some times where I solve the puzzle and Max, the character, says, how do I solve this one then? You know, because he thinks that I haven't solved it. But, like,
so
overall,
I think... Did you start the level in that spot, or...?
I had to restart twice, but not for that. That's just the character saying that.
Hey, oh, that's not, the, puzzle like, it, the game recognizes that you solved it, but the character didn't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but there have been times where I've needed to restart it because not because I messed up a puzzle. It was because I couldn't. There's one point where I couldn't get the marker out. I think it's right, hold right trigger to get the magic marker thing out.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get it out. I couldn't do anything. It sort of broke it.
Right.
And then there was another time where I think one of the enemies disappeared and I couldn't do anything. So, you know, it reminded me of Limbo a lot, and it reminded me of Brothers.
Yeah.
A Tale of Two Sons a lot. Because of the puzzle elements and sort of dialogue.
It's about you and your brother.
Yeah, I really like it. I think it's a great little game. So try it out.
Apparently, it's available on PC as well.
That's it. I'm in.
You go on the
PC.
So PCs,
I think my review noise for Max: The Curse of the Brotherhood is
Oh, I like that. That's good. That's good. That's kind of I get that. So that's very good. Anything else? Have you been playing out else this week?
I played Doodle Jump on my iPhone.
All right, how did that go?
I jumped up and I
died. Doodled.
And then I played it again. Yeah, wasn't great.
And that's kind of about it, is it?
I went to a bowling alley, right? I had a big Doodle Jump machine there, right?
Is that true?
That's true. It's a big Doodle Jump machine there. And I was like, why would anybody pay to play this? And it just reminded me of Doodle Jump. Maybe that's why it existed, to make people download the app. So I did.
That's just weird.
Yeah.
But there's a proper Flappy Bird video arcade machine, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. So
it's like weird. Who would do that?
There you go. Yeah. Nothing else from me.
There you go. Right, well, we better move over to you, Duke, because I'm sure you played tons of shit this week.
No, not tons of stuff. I have played a couple of games. I mean, I've been playing a lot of Battlefield 4. I should start with this. So there's this podcast I listen to called The Dork Forest, which is people talking about nerdy stuff. A lot of people discuss video games, but people also discuss other things. This one guy talked for like half an hour about McDonald Land and all the characters and the history of McDonald Land and stuff. Anyway, they had a guy on named Brian Upton who had some really interesting perspectives on sort of the history of role-playing games. Like, he wrote a book – well, I guess he read a book that was about where Dungeons & Dragons came from, not just Gary Gygax, but like – you know, the decades and centuries before Dungeons and Dragons itself came about and sort of what the predecessors were. Anyway, at one point, he makes a really good point on this podcast where he says, stories are a form of gameplay. Like, when you're reading a story, in a way, you're playing with characters and you're sort of putting together what's happening in the story. You assemble it. And in fact, this is echoed by a guy from Pixar, and I can't remember his name, but did a great TED Talk called The Elements of a or the keys to a great story. And he said that in Pixar, they learned early on that you want to give the audience 2 + 2 rather than giving the audience 4. In other words, the audience wants to do some work to sort of put stories together. But he said, he pointed out in this podcast that makes storytelling in video games difficult. And he said specifically, cutscenes in video games suck because it's hard to play 2 games at once. And I really think he puts it very well there, because I've felt that way a lot. When I'm playing a game, all of my energy and attention is focused on the gameplay mechanics and how to kill the bad guys and how to get myself healed up and whatever it is. And so when I'm supposed to also be deciphering this story and, you know, putting together the audio logs or whatever, I don't do that. It just doesn't work for me. So what I end up doing is just ignoring the story for the most part. And I think that game developers who want to tell a good story need to remember that we are doing a lot of work following the game. And so to try to put in a story in a incoherent, like, jagged way, the way that you would actually pick up this story if you were in that world, that's not an effective way to tell a story in a video game, in my opinion.
So what, yeah, I mean, what you're saying is, instead of 2 + 2, it's 2 + 2 times by 59, divided by 4, carry the 1, and all sorts of stuff.
Pretty much. Like, you're extra playing a game, work kind of isn't do. That.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, because as we know, things like The Walking Dead and, you know, obviously The Wolf Among Us, and more recently Life is Strange, they work particularly well because it's more focused around the story and less about the gameplay.
Right. And it's the thing is that, like, Portal, I think, does a very good job telling story, because there are certain moments where you're just walking around drinking in the story, and then there's moments when you're doing puzzles and solving, you know, doing test chambers.
I was thinking about Portal when you were talking about that, because, you know, it's like, I was thinking, like, what games do it well? Portal is a great example of doing it well.
Yeah.
Mainly because it's so stripped back, right? That there's no other people to distract you.
Yeah.
And you have to concentrate so hard in what you're doing that a little light relief, that a little sort of funny commentary by GLaDOS, and, you know, a little they give you tiny bits of story at the start of Portal.
Right.
You know, it takes about 3 or 5 chambers just for you to sort of realize there is a story.
Yeah.
And it's so just leaked in, so you just get used to the mechanics.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, like, for things like Half-Life, which is, you know, considered, you know, like a masterpiece in Half-Life 2. I play Half-Life 2 about 4 or 5 times all the way through. I can't honestly say that I can clearly give you all the characters and clearly, like, tell you, like, what's going on in the world.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is that I think Half-Life has a lot of things going on, and it's not – the story in Half-Life 2, for instance, isn't as clearly split up as it is in Portal 2. I think Portal 2 does a great job of saying, okay, look, you know, while you're riding on this elevator in this, you know, test sphere or whatever it is, and while you're moving from place to place, we're going to fill in some story. But when you're testing in Portal 2, you're just testing. That's all you're doing, and they don't try to make you do 2 things at once. So I think that it's not an either-or type thing. I mean, there are games that do a good job with giving us story and giving us, you know, gameplay elements to keep track of, but it is, I think it's important to remember that whereas the way you would tell a story in a short story or in a movie or in a play or whatever, that doesn't really suffice in a video game because you're asking the player to do more work than probably they're going to want to. And I'm always surprised when people do come out of a game and say, you know, oh, well, I understood the story. It's a piece of cake, you know. And I'm always like, well, I got some of that, but I didn't really pick it up. And the other thing is a lot of game developers don't seem to tell worthwhile stories. Like Spec Ops The Line is a good example of a game that has a good story to tell. But even that, like, there's so, you know, you get something on the radio and it's like, you're going to have to meet this Jenkins guy. And then you get to the place where you're going and they're like, oh, Jenkins left and he brought this guy with him and he's here. And it's just, you're supposed to be following all these things that people are saying. And it's often very hard to do.
But do you not think this is where the kind of new genre of games, the walking simulator, comes in? Because
Right. These
games are kind of all about story and not about action at all.
Sure. Now, I would say that, you know, some of them have better stories than others. Ethan Carter. No, but
yeah,
whatever. I mean, the Ethan Carter story, I wouldn't say is terrible. I just didn't think it was as amazing as I had been led to believe. But then Dear Esther is an example of a horrible story. So the question is, you know, do you have a good story to tell? Or are you going to leave it open and vague, which doesn't necessarily make it bad. But for me, if the gameplay is simple and then the story is open and vague, that's really frustrating to me. So
yeah, you'd prefer sort of simple gameplay but a sort of focused narrative.
Yeah, I like my stories to be pretty clear to begin with. So, I'm not the type of person – I don't really get into David Lynch and all that. So anyway, just some interesting food for thought. And like I said, the Dork Forest, where Brian Upton is on, is really a good episode from start to finish. I encourage people to check it out.
Okay, will do.
Right. So what have I been playing? I've been playing Battlefield 4 with the CMW crew, and they're a good group of people, and we've been playing a lot of that. I've actually been playing Battlefield 4 hardcore, if you can believe it, and doing pretty terrible because I'm not good at that game in general, but I've realized that hardcore can actually be comforting or easier, because when you play regular Battlefield, people will spot you. And even if you kill the person who spots you, everyone else on the team can see where you are on the minimap. But in hardcore mode, you don't have a minimap. So even if someone spots you, they don't, you know, the other team doesn't immediately know where you are. So
what else is different in hardcore? Is there no UI or what?
Well, there is a UI, but it's much more stripped down. Like, you don't have a compass. So they keep telling you, like, there's a sniper north of your position. And I'm just like, well, that doesn't help me. Although, if you press M, the map will come up on your screen and you can sort of see where you are in relation to, you know, other enemies. But it's just more, I don't know, you don't really know where people are at. And it makes it harder, but it also makes it, in some ways, like, it doesn't take as many bullets to kill the enemy. That's the other thing that I like about it. So I don't know. It's kind of growing on me. Now, the reason I'm playing hardcore is because that's the only server where people hang out in the team speak. So, yeah.
Right, okay.
Battlefield.
I mean, this has kind of become your go-to game for multiplayer action, hasn't it really?
Yeah, it's like all I've been playing in multiplayer lately. It's kind of weird.
I mean, are you still playing Hardline, or has that kind of gone by the wayside?
In a while. Like, that's the thing, is that, like, I could play Hardline, but when there's a group of people that I can hang out and talk with, instead of playing Hardline sort of alone, I'm going to want to play it with other people. And none of the CMW crew is playing Hardline for whatever reason. So,
So you're stuck on Battlefield 4. Have you been playing with Big Bad Daddy?
I haven't. I've always said to him and Morty, like, hey, let's play some games, but they're never on when I'm on, so. Played some more Fallout 3, and I finished, 6180 The Moon is that weird platformer with the, you know, music and everything. And the weird thing about it is you get to – so it's – the idea is that the sun – or the moon is sort of searching for the sun. And when you get to the sun, it says, oh, you know, you have this sort of cutscene. It's just text and very simple images. But when you get to the sun, you have this sort of cutscene where the moon and the sun have a conversation. And then the moon says, okay, now I'm going to go back to, you know, back to the Earth. And you go back through the levels and you're basically playing them in reverse. And it's
weird. My God, it's Devil May Cry 4.
Yeah. But it's weird because now when you play it in reverse, when you – what are you showing? That's not 6180 the moon. What is that?
I have no idea what that is.
That's not the game I've been playing, dude.
What is that, Ginny?
I don't know.
You don't know. You put it on.
I typed in 6180 the moon. This is what come up.
Well, that's not it.
That's like some continuous like runner thing. What is that? Anyway, carry on.
Anyway, here's a video I'll send you in the.
Oh, I've got it.
Okay. He's got it.
I remember this game. You've right. talked about this before.
Yes, I've talked about it before. So anyway, when you go back to sort of second round of this game, when you go backwards, pushing up sends you down, and gravity pulls you up toward the top of the screen. So it's not just that the levels are reversed, it's that the mechanics are reversed as well, which is really interesting because it makes the game very confusing and weird, but it's good. It's still the kind of game where, like, I play it and I'm like, you know, oh, I'll do a level and then, you know, whatever, go have dinner or whatever it is. So it's a sort of brain scratcher, but there's some luck involved too, and it's reflexes. But it's just really well done in general. And they don't keep adding all these different elements the way some games do. You know, some games, some platformers, it's just like you have so many elements. As soon as you master one thing, it starts putting in a new element for you. And that can be really frustrating. But, yeah, I'm loving it. So, again, thanks, Jacinta, for gifting me this because it's really wicked.
Yeah, but you see, you haven't played the best game she's given you.
No, I have not. Sorry.
No, you have not.
Nope. But I have played Skyrim, and I know you all have been waiting to hear about that. I
can't believe it. Well, Skyrim
there's
is
actually
going
something
off.
New.
There is? Yes. What? Oh, hunting in Skyrim.
Right.
That's
so
new.
Big Bad Daddy, Richard Webster, who I think was in the chat. I don't know if he still is or not. But he, of course, has been making this Hunting in Skyrim mod, and he's added something new. It's trapping in Skyrim. So he made this little tutorial video, which I think Chinny's probably going to put up here. And it's very interesting because it makes, you know, there's all these mods that make Skyrim into more of a platform than a game. You know what I mean? It's you have Frostflow where you can get frostbite, and there's mods for eating and drinking, and there's mods for, you know, building your own house and all this other stuff. So this is another in the long line of things that will make Skyrim even more interactive and you know, small ways of killing time and having fun in Skyrim. Unfortunately,
it's the one thing this game needs is more time spent on it.
I know, right?
It is more time.
It really is. And, you know, so the problem is that I got it running and I set up my first trap and then it froze the whole computer. Not just Skyrim, but I had to start the whole computer.
Oh, no. Did you have to do hard reset?
Yes, I did.
Oh, man, you got to hold the button in and everything. What is that all about?
It was rough. So, I don't know.
it was rough.
I told Rich about that.
That 2 minutes was hard work.
It was. It was maybe frustrating. But, you know, he said it's beta, so it's the type of thing where he's working out.
So let me just get this straight. What you're saying is Big Bad Daddy's mod killed your computer.
It temporarily put my computer in a coma.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is serious shit going down right there.
Which is frustrating, but
and you gave him cash, and you gave him money, man. You want that money back, do you not? No, that's all that about.
Because the regular mod is great. It's just the beta is. It's he's working out the kinks. Don't be hating. Okay. It's fine. Okay. He's gonna get it.
Soon. Okay.
I would be furious.
Yeah,
I would be furious. I'd be like, give me my cash back. Yeah. It's crap. No, I wouldn't be.
Cash back.
No, he's obviously put a lot of work into this, hasn't he? You know what I mean.
Rich.
Right. He's in the chat. He's in the chat.
He wrote Duke.
I know Duke.
Yes.
Rich.
Okay. So anyway, that's trapping in Skyrim, unless Rich has something else he wants to say. And then the last game I've been playing is called Savage Lands.
Because, oh yeah, this has been on sale, hasn't it? This was on sale, wasn't it?
Has it?
I thought it was.
Okay.
I've seen it on sale for definite.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, if the game froze, there's something else, fella.
He's blaming your computer,
man.
He's saying it's not my
computer. I don't know.
Sure shit, man.
All I can do is just tell him what I experienced. So anyway, I might try the trapping in Skyrim again when it's out of beta. So
yeah, when it's not broken anymore.
Yeah, really. So Savage Lands, you know I'm a sucker for these survival games. Especially if it's crafting.
Yeah.
Like, if it's scavenging, get out of my face. But if it's crafting, hey, hello. And this is one with crafting. And it's basically...
Hello.
The world
hello.
Kind of looks a little like Skyrim, actually. It's a really pretty world. And it's the standard thing.
It looks great. There's a beach and a rock and a tree.
Yeah, there's thousands of rocks.
Thousands and thousands of rocks. Actually, there aren't. That's the thing that's frustrating. When you first start the game, there's this little survival checklist on the right side of the screen. And it's got all these things on it. One of them is collect 6 rocks. And it's really hard to find rocks. I mean, there's actually like big rocks around, and
little ones, not a chance.
Exactly, and it's like ridiculous. Why aren't there little rocks lying around?
You want pebbles, man. You want pebbles? What's the matter with you?
There actually is flint you need to collect, and that actually is pretty easy to find. But then stone, I think it's called stones. Like, they're hard to find, and I spent my first 20 minutes running around looking for stones. And in the meantime,
If there's one thing the gaming world needs. Here's another game where you hit rocks and find twigs.
And you've got to find
here's what's different. This game has skeletons in it.
Can you use the skeletons for anything, or is it just like...
I literally
killed skeletons, yeah. You have like this totem pole with a human skull on it, and you can respawn in that spot. How exciting.
You made that
yawned.
Out of a skeleton?
Yeah.
Duke, I yawned when you played that dramatic music. I really did.
Jesus Christ, can I just double check here?
I know what you're
going to
ask.
Build?
You're going to ask, when you chop down a tree, does it fall over? And the answer is
does it?
It's
oh,
full.
Man.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Game of the year,
I've seen the shot for this, you know, the one that for the game, and it's got this weird looking dragon thing on it.
The dragon showed up, and I was like, run away, dragons. So,
but yeah,
the thing is,
I have looked at this.
You have to start off by, like, you know, breaking rocks, and then you have to get. You have to make a fire, and then you have to build a lean-to, and then you can get more logs, and you can eventually build a little house, and then you can build a forge, but you can also find a forge if you run around enough, and there's wolves, and there's deers, and you have to kill a deer, and then you can make a bow, which makes it much easier to kill a deer, and I haven't built a bow yet, but I have built a house, and...
Now, can I ask, is the house made out of wood?
Yes, it is.
So if a dragon comes along, you're screwed.
Well, I think the dragon tends to stay where he's at and not mess with you if you're down by the beach. So
that doesn't sound like what a normal dragon would do.
No, it doesn't really. Dragon
guy on the beach.
I really don't know what a real life dragon would really do. But I'm sure they wouldn't just stay put in one particular area.
It would have the voice of Benedict Cumberbatch in Love Gold.
Oh yeah,
that's I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, Savage Lands is fun. It's still in early access, but this is an early access game I am not regretting my purchase of. So there.
Yeah, I'm sure I've seen it on sale somewhere this week. I'm almost positive it's been on sale somewhere. But anyway,
Duke, isn't the sort of main attraction with these games just the start?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, once you've built your phallic symbol, you're not bothered, are you?
But you've got a house.
But actually, you know, it's interesting because in this game, there's more than just building a house because you can, like I said, once you kill a deer, you can get some leather strips and then you can make a bow and then you can kill more monsters. Eventually, the idea is that you kill the dragon, but you can't go running in there with your little stone axe and try to kill a dragon. He'll slaughter you, as I found when I was trying to kill the skeleton with my stone axe. So you have to make better weapons and then you can make armor eventually, but you have to like create a forge and mine for ore and, you know, melt it down and all that stuff. So it's sort of like if Skyrim started from zero and didn't take you very far, only let you kill like one dragon.
So is that if you killed the dragon, is that it? Is that the end game?
I don't think there is an end game. Like most of these games don't have an end game. It's just kind of like see how long you can survive. And
well, that's my point. Like once you've built a house and you've killed a few things and you've got central heating and an M4 and you got like all this crap.
M4. That would be what, like you did.
You know, you've got a corgi boiler. You've got a settee, a nice three-piece settee,
right?
A dog. You know what is there left to do? Is it just time to buy another game that's similar to this?
Yeah,
I don't know. I just feel like I'm done with these sorts of games.
Yeah, I was going to say there seem to be a lot of these types of games now, don't they? This, I mean, along with the walking simulators, this is kind of the other new genre of game, isn't it? Really, in the last few years. Yeah. They're sort of survival simulator.
And H1Z1. Now, the thing that attracted me with this was the monsters because, you know, it's got this interesting sort of fantasy element. And the other thing is on the sign-in screen when you start the game up, it has this big thing in the corner that says 3 days until update. So they've set themselves pretty specific deadlines for when they're going to update the game. And, I mean, who knows how long they'll keep with that. We all know that Rust spent 3 years pretending like they were going to finish the game, and they never have. But, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I'm having fun with it so far.
Oh, yeah, look, I've just seen an actual tree branch.
Yeah, baby.
I can see what you're saying there. That is satisfying, isn't it, when that tree actually falls down?
No doubt. And that's the other thing. You could be like, I'm going to cut down every tree on this island. And you just go around cutting down every tree. Like on The Simpsons when Skinner's like, I made a game of it. I saw how many times I could bounce the ball in 5 minutes and then tried to beat that record.
There you go. You see? That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. Is that it for you? Is that everything?
That's it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk about one game in the main.
Okay. Witcher 3?
Which will be The Witcher 3. I'm going to say something straight off the bat here now that Chinny's here. Chinny, as we know, you are not a fan of high fantasy games, are you? Elden Wizards and shit and all that stuff.
No, I think I'm going to like Witcher 3.
But I'm going to say it right now. I think not only will you like The Witcher 3, I think you're going to love The Witcher 3. And that's a big play.
Why do you point me out specifically?
Because The Witcher 3 is basically Red Dead Redemption with high fantasy. That is kind of
the game.
Sorry,
I've got to go. I have to immediately buy it. Bye.
Honestly, it is. The more I play this game, the more I'm reminded of Red Dead Redemption.
Got it.
Because it just basically just is that game. But, you know, you're on a horse for the majority of the game, riding around massive open countryside, coming across random events. And I guess the additional stuff in this is that, you know, that you don't get in Red Dead is you get cool loot. You know, there is some cool loot to be had.
The developers said, wouldn't it be great if Skyrim had a story? And that's pretty much The Witcher 3.
It is that as well. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are elements of Skyrim as well, for sure. And when you get to the second area, you know, the first area is big. You know, it's not huge, but it's big. You get to the second area and it's truly enormous. You cannot even begin to fathom the scale of this game. And I'm astounded at what they've actually produced. And don't get me wrong, I've had a few bugs, nothing major. But I've had a few really interesting, funny bugs where I've like four people killed them and then they just sort of end up stood there, like the character model just stands there like a statue after you've killed them.
Yeah.
Or the weapons are just floating in midair, you know, and stuff like that. So there are definitely bugs in this game. But then I also feel like because just of the sheer scale of it, I can kind of understand why those bugs are there. I mean, this it's just it. You cannot begin to tell you how big this game is. And again, Duke, I'm thinking you're going to love it.
Yeah.
Well, I really do.
PC Sharky comes on Steam and goes, have you played Witcher 3 yet? I was like, no. He goes, it's better than Skyrim. I was like, heresy? How could you, sir?
give you a tip. If you're going to introduce something to Duke, don't go in saying it's better than Skyrim.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's really not a good way
to
start.
Go in saying, as a Skyrim fan, I think
it's equally as good as Skyrim.
I love this. If you like Skyrim, you're going to love it.
Equally. Yeah, you will.
I've got a question for you, Stuart.
Go on. Go on. You ask away.
It's not a silly question. Like, did you get a boner when the sex scenes were on?
I haven't got to one of those.
It's a sensible question. Are you playing this on the PlayStation 4 or the PC?
I am. No, I'm on PlayStation 4.
Because I've heard there have been some sort of issues, technical issues, running this on the PlayStation 4. Have you come across any of those?
No, not apart from the weird buggy stuff with, like I say, like enemies dying but not really. Well, they are dead, but they're kind of still there as though they're not dead. And I mean, I've had some really weird incidents and stuff like that, but nothing that's anywhere close to game breaking. You know, I've had nothing.
Frame rate? Any drops in frame rate?
No, not at all. Nothing of that issue at all. I've not had any. But then I believe from what I've heard is they locked the frames to 30 frames a second on the PS4 version. So it's 1080p, but it's locked to 30 frames.
I've heard out of the two console versions, the PS4 version was the one that was running really poor. But they might have changed it or patched it by now. I don't know.
Yeah, there's been an update, but I got it day one. And even on day one, I played it for about 6 or 7 hours and never really came across any problems at all. You know, I did a few experimental things like just spin around on the spot just to see if there was any sort of tearing or anything like that. And there was nothing like that. You know, it sort of kept up without really any issue.
I have another question. Sensible question.
Go on. I like sensible questions.
I have The Witcher 2 on the 360.
Okay.
Should I play The Witcher 2 before I play The Witcher 3?
It probably doesn't make a whole lot of difference. Because they do a kind of a good job of giving you a little bit of backstory at the beginning of the game. And then as you're playing through the game, it kind of drip feeds you sort of stuff that's gone on in the previous two games anyway. So you wouldn't necessarily need to play that.
As a person
first.
That's played 2 and is now playing 3, would you recommend 2 still, or do you think I should just skip it?
I would skip it, if I'm being really honest. Much as I love The Witcher 2, right? But it had loads of issues with combat. What's kind of interesting about this compared to 2 is they've just made it a whole lot more accessible.
Mm.
And don't get me wrong, there's still loads of shit going on, but I still haven't got the right ingredients to make an oil to put on my sword. And I picked loads of flowers and stuff. Whereas in The Witcher 2, that was kind of an integral part of the game.
Yeah.
You know, you had to be prepared for battle every time you went into one. Whereas in this game, they've been a whole lot more lenient. You know, you get food and supplies and stuff like consumables. And as you're fighting, you can sort of eat, which like renews your energy and stuff like that. So, and like one of the first level up things that I did for the character was to give him, during the day, his sort of energy renews as you're riding along and stuff. If you've been in a battle, you don't have to eat stuff to renew that. So I'm just loving it. It's I can't stop playing it. The more, when I'm not playing it, I just want to play it. The story's
Balo
really, really
in the chat. Balo in the chat said, Chini, play 2 first, get to know the characters and shit. I think you've got to remember here that Stuart's put me off by, you've got to get your oils ready on your sword.
Yeah, there's
right?
none
that
of that
like
shit.
Number
two.
I do not want to do.
The third one. No, there isn't any of that in this.
It is very difficult for me to talk about characters and shit when I'm looking at a character on screen now and he's some sort of child that looks like some sort of gremlin with a scarf on.
Yeah.
I have trouble with that.
Yeah, you may do, but there's not a whole... I'll be honest, there isn't a whole lot of that sort of stuff in it. I mean, up to now, I've mainly been fighting human bandits and deserters, and there's like a civil war going on and all that stuff in the background. But what he does, it's really, really clever, because you don't get any experience points for just fighting random people in the game. So it encourages you to do the main story quests and the side quests to get the better, to get the XP you need to level up the character.
Yeah.
So it does a cool job of that because, you know, normally you might just sort of run around just killing shit like Duke does in Skyrim.
Yeah.
But in this game, if you want to level up your character, you've got to do the quest lines and stuff to do that. And the other day I got my first relic sword and frick me, that's badass.
Oh,
I mean, that is a badass sword. But I'm damn sure. I mean, when I see some of the stuff you can get, I realise in the scheme of things, it's not that badass at all. Do you know what I mean? I've already crafted a level 13 silver sword, which is about three times more powerful than the one I'm using, but I've still got about 7 levels to go before I can actually use it. So I might have crafted this cool weapon, but I can't use it for another 7 levels. And it's not a game that throws XP at you all the time. It takes you a long time to level up.
So with the loot then, does it give you... What I'm trying to get at is... With some loot games, they give you too much too often, right? And you just this is redundant. Is it spaced out pretty well? Or
yes.
There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you tend to, if to get the cool, like, rare loot, you have to kind of work for it. So you'll get lots of common stuff, like common swords and stuff, and you just have to flog those. Or one of the other cool things you can do in this game is dismantle stuff. So if you go and see a blacksmith, he'll dismantle swords and stuff for you so you can get the sort of elements of that sword to then go on and make something else. Do you know what I mean? So you can do that as well. So that's kind of cool.
Reuse, reduce, recycle?
Yeah, exactly. So rather than just flogging it for a few crowns, you can actually just dismantle it.
Yeah.
By the way, everybody say hello to exempt Mr. Fish. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Everybody stop the podcast just to say hello. Where were you earlier? Balo said, what if I play 2 on easy and then I don't have to worry about the oils and suntan lotion?
There is that as well, but I'll be honest with you. I really don't think you need to play 2. I think you should just get your shit into this straight away. I don't think you should bother with 2 at all.
I should get my shit into it.
You should definitely do that.
Yeah, I don't want to... I hope Tara doesn't walk in and catch me doing that.
Exactly. Don't get me wrong, I really like 2, but this is just... It's just a completely different level of game compared to 2. It's just massive. I mean, again, I can't tell you enough of how big this game is. It's just enormous. And again, they've done this really cool thing. Every time, it's kind of got a bit of Ubisoft going on, right? It's got a little bit of that. Because
what,
you go to a town.
To a tower and going up.
But it's a notice board. So if you go to a new town, you go to the notice board, have a quick look at it, you know, take the stuff off it, and then all these question marks appear on the map in the area where you are. And they're all undiscovered locations, so there might be a place.
Red Dead Redemption again.
This is Red Dead Redemption, but it's not Red Dead Redemption, is it? I think you'll like it. I honestly, to God, right? If you play this game, I would be absolutely amazed if you didn't enjoy it. I really would.
Would you? Is this a bet?
It could be a bet.
You know, I don't want to put a bet. I think you're right, to be honest. I think I'm not. It's not something that I think. I think I will look at it, and I've seen things, and it does look like Red Dead Redemption, and I'm not as.
There are no guns, by the way. I need to make it clear: there are no revolvers or 6 shooters.
No, that's fine. But I'm not as hostile to high fantasy as I sort of make out to be. You know, because essentially sci-fi is high fantasy, isn't it? You know, and I love sci-fi, but
no, sci-fi is sci-fi. What are you talking about?
I do give some fantasy games a chance, and you know, I did really like Skyrim for like the 5 minutes that I played it.
Fire for that blunder.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think I will like it.
I mean, don't get me wrong, right? you're not going to see much of the elves and wizards and shit. There is not really... There's witches. You know, there's plenty of witches going on in this game. But there's not... Not really. But there's not a ton of sort of... There really isn't a ton of that sort of elves and stuff. I mean, there was in the second one, more so than this one. But at the moment, it's mainly been humans and stuff. So I honestly to God think you'll love this game. It's just incredible. And you just draw, you know, every time you see another question mark on the map, you're like, oh, just go and see what that is. Do you know what I mean? You're constantly you're constantly just going from one question mark to another.
Well, that's what Assassin's Creed 2 and Red Dead Redemption and GTA, to a certain effect, just distracts you, you know, like you're just going along. All of a sudden you see in GTA somebody, some woman throwing their husband's clothes on their drive, and you're like, oh, what's this? And you go, oh, it's really interesting, sort of like different, and it involves you, and you have to do a little bit of here and there. It's definitely sounds my cup of tea, I have to say.
And the side quests are always a lot of them are multi-level. So you do a side quest, but it won't be just do one little thing like in Red Dead Redemption. It'll be do this thing, and then that leads you to do something else. And then you
I'm alright thinking that some of the side quests actually lead to like some good story sort of lines. And
yeah, you know. There's quite a lot of depth even in the side. I mean, again, I can't begin to think how much work and effort these guys have put into this game. And don't get me wrong, right? You're not going to get that sort of combat level of Shadow of Mordor or Batman. You're not going to get that here. It is not that sleek. It isn't. It basically revolves around, you know, magic attack, dodge, roll, hit again. So it has got an element of what Duke likes about Skyrim in it, you know, where you're just hacking at people and stuff. You know, that simplicity. Yeah, that simplicity of hacking. There's only kind of five spells that you use at the moment. I don't know whether I'll unlock more as I go along. And you get a crossbow. So you kind of just got that. That's kind of it. But I'm damn sure there's more stuff to come. You know what I mean? And I barely scratched the surface. I mean, they've said on average, just to finish the main story quest, it takes about 60 hours.
Okay.
You know, just to finish that. And they said, to put it into perspective, an average novel has about 80,000 words in it. And the Witcher script has 450,000.
Dude.
So it's just enormous. I mean, it makes kind of Dragon Age Inquisition look tiny, you know, by comparison, and it's definitely on the level of sort of Skyrim. And I think apart from Chini, I think Duke will also love this game. But again, you know, Life is Strange is definitely up there as well as my potential game of the year after playing Episode 3 was just amazing. Honestly, I'm telling you now, Life is Strange
I'm fucking telling you now.
The two things that stand out to me about The Witcher 3, first of all, the fact that it's third person. I don't know why, but for some reason, like, I'm really much more into first-person games these days. But whatever, that's a minor thing.
Yeah,
the thing that's a little more annoying is that you have to play as Geralt, which isn't too horrible, but I've become so used to making my own character, and I think I would rather do that with this game.
I suppose in a game where it's very story-driven, and there are characters to interact with, and they interact with you, and there's choices and so on.
Yeah,
isn't that better to have like a character that's sort of fixed in the lore rather than, hey, here's Mr. Blankface, and he doesn't say fuck all, but here he is, that you've got to give you my lore.
Yeah, I mean, there is that. I agree with that, I suppose, but I also feel like, you know, part of what I love about Skyrim is that I can make a character and have an idea in mind about what kind of character it is without someone dictating to me where that story comes from.
It's but do you know what?
Ever. It's just a different kind of game.
Do you know what, though? Skyrim never looked this beautiful.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it looks beautiful, but I mean, come on.
You are kind of right. But I also feel like where Geralt, there is still that sort of grey areas, and you've got to make the decisions and decide, you know, what's right and wrong.
Right.
But I kind of play it as, if I was Geralt, what would I do in his place?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I play the game.
Sure. And I mean, if you're going to have to play as a character, like, he's a good person to have to play. He's an.
Can I play as a complete dick?
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of what he is.
That is a lot of what he is.
Because the world is digging him, man. So
seriously, he is perfect for you, Chini, because he's a bit of a dick already. You know, he's choosing
between being a good person and being a bad person. You're choosing between being like a gruff, barely decent person and being a jackass.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
Except yeah. Mr. Fish saying, Geralt is dreamy. Cough, cough. I mean, cool. Is he dreamy?
Yeah. I guess if you were a lady, you would probably like Geralt. Yeah, he's a bit rough around the edges. You know what I mean? A bit of rough and ready. I would imagine But I have played some other stuff. It's not that's not the only thing I've played. This week. I know, Jim. Unbelievably, I've had time.
What's your mid review noise?
Jesus Christ. I mean, my mid-review noise for this game so far, even from the beginning, is just kind of a... It's kind of all on one level.
It's like a hovercraft taking off.
It is. It's true.
It's like a balloon just being let go.
It is, honestly. Yeah, it's true. There you go.
A kettle being born.
It's on the boil and it hasn't come off just yet.
That's quite possibly the funniest thing you've ever done in your life.
There you go. But yeah, I have played some other stuff. I've got around to playing Murasaki Baby on the Vita.
Playing what?
Murasaki Baby.
Oh yeah, that game. Speaking of game of the year.
And I really like this. I mean, you were talking about Limbo earlier. Well, this is kind of another game that has got some, not necessarily elements of Limbo in it, but it's an interesting puzzle, not necessarily platformer, it's more of a puzzle, like a side-scrolling puzzle game, with a really, really cool art style. Because you play like a little girl, but for some weird reason, her mouth is on the top of her head, and... She's basically looking for a mummy, from what I can gather, and it makes, like, you know, like Tearaway on the Vita made really good use of all the touch controls and all the sort of the things on the Vita that you couldn't really do on any other platform.
Yes.
Well, Murasaki Baby kind of does the same thing, because you have to lead her by the hand through the levels. So, kind of, when you touch your finger on the screen nearby or near to her... Mm-hmm. You kind of pull her along with your finger.
Okay.
And she pulls her hand out, and it's kind of quite tactile, even though, you know, you're not obviously really touching anybody. But it does make you feel like you care a little bit for what happens to her, because you're kind of interacting with her in a way that you don't normally do with a video game.
Right.
Does that kind of make sense?
I guess.
And she carries a balloon everywhere she goes, and... You have to navigate through stuff that makes her afraid is kind of the sort of element of the game. But then what they introduce as you're going along, there are different backgrounds. I don't even know if that's the best way to put it. But you can swipe on the screen and it'll bring up a different background. The only thing I would say, it's a really interesting and cool control scheme that they've come up with, but it's also really fiddly to do with a Vita.
Yeah,
because you've got to use the back screen and the front screen sometimes almost at the same time to sort of achieve what you need to do.
Yeah,
but it's I don't know. I just really, really like it. I'm very impressed with how this game plays, you know, and it's definitely a WAS game. You know, there is no two ways about this. If you pick this up on, you know, on PlayStation Plus, because it was one of the PlayStation Plus games. If you picked it up, then you definitely need to give it a whirl, because it's very, very cool, and I'm very impressed. I just love the art style. I just think it looks great, and it just plays really well. Murasaki Baby, you know, just give it a whirl. You know, because like I say, there's kind of all sorts of cool stuff. There's a bit that's showing now on the screen where it sort of changed screens, but there's like Jack in the Boxes that make a jump, and she lets go of the balloon. But you also use that sort of mechanic to solve some of the puzzles
yeah.
as well.
What's the difference between the back? What's the difference between the screen swiping? What's the difference?
So when you screen swipe, there's different things. Like on the red screen, it's like a jack in the box, so you can make characters on the screen jump. In the green screen, that's kind of just normal. Then there's another one with windmills, so you can use like the wind to help you. And then there's another screen where it's like rainy, so there's like a thunderstorm, and if you tap the clouds from the back of the Vita, it starts to rain. So there's and then obviously you use that dynamic to obviously flood areas and do different things to solve the puzzles with that. It's just very, very cool. I really, really like it. But
it looks
like I say,
the
Tim only
Burton game.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, it's very surreal and it's very weird. And like I say, mouth for whatever reason is on the top of her head rather than the bottom.
Why not?
But she's kind of ugly, but cute at the same time. You know, she's kind of a cute little character, even though she's a bit ugly. And she's got this weird mouth on her head. I don't know. I just really, really like it. So, yeah, Murasaki Baby, definitely give it a whirl. Because it's pretty unique, really. Pretty much different to anything else you'll really play on the Vita.
Unique? That's a teacher described me as unique once. I don't know if it's a compliment.
I guess. So I've been playing that. And then there was a Kickstarter for this game, which I didn't realise. But Jason sent me a link to this because they've released like a playable teaser on the iPad, and it's called Jenny Leclue Detective, which is a bit of a weird name. And it's kind of a point and click adventure game, but I kind of like it. Again, I kind of like it. What's interesting with the teaser, it's only got written dialogue, but apparently when the full game releases, it's going to have full voice acting and everything. So that could be pretty cool. And it's kind of like it is a detective game, really. You've got to solve like a crime. So you end up in this. You have to break. From what I could gather from the little teaser, I was breaking into where I used to work, but for whatever reason, I don't work there anymore. This is on the iPad, but I think it is coming to other platforms as well. I don't think it's only on the iPad. I think it's coming to other stuff as well. But it's got, again, it's got a really, really nice art style to it. You know, the art style. Yeah, it's really, really nice. Really well written. The graphics are really cool. The sound is really, really good. Really, really nice ambient sound going on and stuff. But it's kind of interesting because there was a puzzle where I had to open a safe and I wasn't quite getting it. And what it does in this game, and I'm assuming it'll do the same in the full game, eventually, if you really don't get it, it will start giving you clues as to what you need to do. So she'll sort of say something in the dialogue that'll actually give you an indication of what you should be looking for, which is kind of good in one way, but in another way, it's not always that obvious, you know what I mean? So you kind of think, is the game not doing a good enough job of letting you find out for yourself?
Can
or
you, like, ask for a hint, or does it just start to you?
No, you can't ask for any hints. It just can't. When you've tried it enough of times and got it wrong, it'll eventually just give you one.
Right. I think I want the more control over it.
Yeah, it does. But again, I don't know how reflective this will be of the full game.
Yeah.
But I liked it. Again, I really liked it. I liked the character. I liked the way it was sort of made. And I just think it could be quite good. So, yeah, this is definitely one to look out for. So, yeah, I think the full game when it releases might be quite something interesting in the point and click. And it feels a bit fresh, you know, compared to a lot of point and click games. It feels fresher. So there you go. And then the last thing I've played this week, I gave the Audio Surf 2 demo a go because they've just released that on Steam.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a demo for that.
Yeah, no, there wasn't. I mean, this has been out for quite a while, which I hadn't realised. It's been out for quite a while, Audio Surf 2. But what they've kind of done, which is interesting compared to the original game, it's now...
Luke. Sorry, Stu.
It's linked.
Is it
it's
really
linked.
Interesting?
It's quite interesting. It is. Yeah, it's quite interesting. Listen.
The original game only worked off songs that you had on your hard drive. You know,
use YouTube?
No, it uses SoundCloud.
Dude.
So it's linked to SoundCloud. So if there's a song on SoundCloud, you can use it in the game. So you don't necessarily now have to have, you know, songs on your hard drive to play.
First-person view.
Why not have a first-person view?
In what respect?
You can snap into first person.
Oh, can you? I didn't do that, I must admit. Because the one thing the demo doesn't do is give you any indication on how to play it. So you kind of just have to do your thing.
Yeah.
But what's cool is, so basically, I mean, the basic premise of the game is it takes a song and then builds a track around the song you've chosen.
Yes.
And that's kind of pretty much it. And you have to score as many points as you can by swallowing all the pills in the mode that I played.
Yeah.
I didn't really play any of the newer modes. I just played what was the original mode in Audio Surf. It doesn't look a massive amount different to the original game in that respect. Uh-huh. And I'm not really sure how much they've added with the different. I know there are new modes in it, but I don't know how much they've added to the game.
Yep.
But it is cool. I mean, you can't beat it. You know,
keep
it's
playing
a good...
that too. See if he notices that you're gone.
Yep.
I know. Yeah. It's just a fairly decent music game.
Yep.
Do you like that, Duke? Is that sort of game that you'd want to play?
I might play this.
You've got the original audio, Surf, haven't you?
Yep.
Yep.
There you go. Duke, do you think Skyrim is probably the best game ever made?
Yep.
But do you think The Witcher 3 might be better? Do you think The Witcher 3 might be better?
Do you think the Holocaust was a good thing? Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Alright.
Oh my
God.
Right. And that's kind of it for me. So to sum up, Chinny, play The Witcher 3, you're gonna love it.
Sweet.
There you go.
That's what you think of Audio Surf 2.
Yeah, that's what I think as well.
My final opinion on Audio Surf 2 is
play The Witcher 3.
You should write a review on Steam. Chinny ought to play The Witcher 3.
I should. It's true. Chinny should play The Witcher 3.
Every review you do of a game, you just basically recommend another game.
In fact, what I'll say is, right, anybody who's now listening to this show, right, and I don't normally say stuff like this, but, right, press pause because you need to come back and listen at some point. Well, press pause, get The Witcher 3 and just play that. That's what you need to be doing right now. There you go. That's a bit of a recommendation for the listeners.
Who does the bell toll for?
Brilliant. And that's kind of it for what we've been playing this week. So it's time for some Chinese news.
Putting news first.
Well, what I like to do is I like to put Duke into a good mood.
I'm also,
of course.
Let's talk about a story that will put Duke into a good mood. Peter Molyneux's 22 cans is undergoing a reboot.
Undergoing a reboot?
Peter Molyneux's studio, 22 Cans, is going through a reboot, having a major changes to upper management. Simon Phillips has been named the CEO, which will leave the co-founder Molyneux himself available to focus on his role as creative director. Games Industry reports that Phillips has been at 22 Cans since March, having previously worked at Fair Play Media and Gusto Games. It is important to us as a studio to fully understand what we do best, and our role is to just get rid of Peter Molyneux, Phillips said. So, what do you think of that then, Duke? Exciting news of your favorite developer.
You know what? I've never been interested in news about studios, but news about Peter Molyneux's studio especially is just like, whatever, do whatever y'all got to do. It doesn't affect me until we get games, and then I won't pay attention to those games anyway, so it doesn't affect me either.
Pow!
Pow! That's told you, pow. Peter Molyneux.
Right, some little... Thank you, Lee, for the bee. It looks like the rumoured new Xbox... We've all been talking about this rumour, by the way. The rumoured new Xbox One controller is legit, based on a retailer listing it from an Australian retailer, Libro, spotted by Eurogamer. We should know more at E3, and hopefully there will be other style options. This one is questionable. And it has a new audio jack or some shit.
Yeah, it basically has an earphone or a headphone jack.
Oh, my God, day one purchase.
Well, do you know
as well as the existing one?
as well as the existing one. Yeah, it's got an additional hole to stick your jack in.
Shut up, dude.
Do you know what, though?
You know what? I would buy this. I could cut a hole in it with my hacksaw.
No, but on the PS4, obviously, that came day one. I'd just like to add, with an earphone jack on the controller. I use it all the time because when, obviously, on an early morning on the weekend when Kay's still in bed, I want to play some games, I just stick in my normal headphones and away I go. It's as simple as that. And it's one of the best. Yeah, it's just one of the best little things ever.
That is quite handy,
because it's so quick and easy. And as soon as you unplug it, obviously, it just diverts the sound back to your telly.
Yeah, it is good. Honestly, it's a really, really good. Competition.
Okay,
Jenny,
sorry, your Skypiness has really become difficult.
Yeah, he just although he just went right for a second there.
Try talking, Chinny.
I am trying to talk.
Oh, talking.
It's easy. Now he went right.
Okay, as you were, Karen.
Yeah, it is weird because he's not been terribly Skypey. He's just had that little
murky,
bit of
just burr.
Yeah, a bit murky. Bit murky.
Now you're fine. Go ahead, talk away.
But now you're suddenly fine.
Yes.
Yeah, you've suddenly just gone fine.
Sounds so sexy.
I know. Unclear.
Are you naked?
I know. Yeah. Have you been rubbing nylon up against your microphone or something?
I don't know. I need better internet.
Oh jeez.
Say what? When I move, I'm gonna get like shit out. Hello, internet. Yes, jack it up, motherfucker. Jack it up.
I don't know what's happened, but you're suddenly as clear as a bell. It's just weird. It was like at the moment Duke was about to berate you, it was like you switched to switch so he couldn't.
Yeah, exactly. I'll wait till Duke gets really mad and then I'll just flip this switch and it'll sound.
I know. That's what it was like.
Yeah.
Think. Anyway. Oh, let me know if it gets any worse. But whatever. Okay. We'll steam through this.
You're fine.
Talking of Steam, there is a new game on Steam where you can steam across the open land on rollerblades.
Oh yeah, baby.
Oh shit.
It's like they went, Stu needs a new game. Let's make one with rollerblades in.
Yeah. Futuristic rollerblade. On a roll. on a roll, a pun that refers to either to rollerblading or how hard I rolled my eyes when reading it. This is according to Kotaku. Is an open world game about performing creative tricks on rollerblades. Yes. So basically, ramps and grinds and flips and things.
How is this different from skateboarding games?
I don't think it is. Rollerblades.
Yeah. It looks like hella fun on wheels.
Did you really just say hella?
That's what the article says. There's a rollerblading game. I think Duke, sorry, not Duke, Stu has to play this game.
I have to play this game. I mean,
I think you have to.
I don't know whether it's actually just like says Eve, it's been funded on Kickstarter. Oh, it's got way to go yet. Oh man,
the screenshot.
I know, it's got like $35,000. You need to make another $35,000. Do you think I should back this project? What do I have to do to back it?
I think you should back it at the highest level.
Jesus Christ, excuse me. Let me have a look. What's the highest? Hold up.
What's the highest level?
$10,000. And for that, I get a full avatar, a digital copy of the game, plus you and your skating style in the game. I'm not being funny. That's not worth $10,000.
Oh, you'd love to see your skating style in the game.
Imagine.
His bump skating backwards.
Imagine your avatar on the game.
10 million people would go, I'm dancing like Stu.
A slightly overweight 40-year-old. I don't think that would work. They'd have to Photoshop.
That would be fantastic.
I would pay $10,000 for that. I wonder if they let me have someone else's skating style. This is for my friend Stu. I want his skating style to be in this game.
Get this though. For $4,000, you still get the avatar thing going on, right? And a digital copy of the game. You just don't get your skating style. And what if someone who is really shit at skating pays the $10,000 thing?
Then you push a button and they fall down and bust their head open.
what's that all about?
I want my skating style, which is just like standing on one spot
for 4 hours.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, man, I did the wrong... I accidentally did Ginny's skating style, and now I have to play this game to go for 4 hours.
I know exactly what Ginny's skating style would be like, right? And it'd be pulling himself around the rink, holding onto the barrier at the side.
Awesome.
Yeah. Or attempting to do a grind, and then you have to simulate 3 weeks in A&E.
Yeah,
like 3 weeks in a hospital bed, just fucked up on morphine,
screwed.
Are these tricks possible? Do people do this stuff?
Oh yeah. Do you know? Weirdly, near us there's a place called Southport, which is a bit like a posher version of Blackpool, and next to the pier at Southport,
I don't think you can get much posher than Blackpool. I'm afraid.
I know. They have like a sort of skate park, and I've seen real life people do this kind of crazy shit.
Right.
Not quite as crazy as it. Oh yeah. Yes. I mean, I've seen people do some crazy stuff there, like backflips and stuff on the rollerblades. So yeah, it is. Some of this stuff is definitely possible.
Fair enough.
Not by me, I hasten to add, but people who are good at this kind of shit, you can definitely do it. So yeah. It looks kind of cool. What else have we got? What else is
there? A little game I think you're looking forward to, Stu, is Until Dawn.
I'm not convinced at the moment with this.
Okay.
I'm not totally convinced because I do feel like it's still a bit sort of, scripted quick time events. I'm not sure how good it's going to be.
So for people that don't know, this was the sort of teen slasher movie rip-off type game for the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, it's like, here's a good description of this
Freddy Krueger and...
No, it's like if David Cage and John Carpenter had a baby.
Yeah.
That's what you get. You get this game.
There's nothing wrong with gay people having babies. Is that what you're saying?
There's nothing wrong with that, no.
So,
it's fine.
Here's a little audio from the trailer for this game.
Wait, okay, so you hear that, right?
That sounds great. I can't wait to play that.
Yeah, that sounds brilliant. But it has now a release date in the UK, which is the 28th of August. Now, it doesn't specify which year that is, so it's fingers crossed that it's this one.
Yeah, that's 2015, baby. I think this is a good idea because I do think that it's
they've got to dodge the big boys, haven't they?
Yeah, it's a good window to release a game like this in because I doubt it's going to be a long game. I don't think there's going to be a lot of length to this game. I mean, we saw the demo for this, didn't we, at Euro? Yeah, we saw the demo for this at Eurogamer or EGX, didn't we? And
I didn't really see a lot of it, to be honest.
It looked all right. There was some interesting stuff going on, and it definitely has a Saw feel about it. You know, a bit sort of. I mean, there was a bit at the end of the demo where they were kind of strapped to a table.
As Saw?
It kind of looked like it could be. It did look like it could be. So it's kind of a bit slasher, teen slasher flick with Saw elements.
This is a more professional sort of live stream. We could get like a trailer up of Until Dawn.
We could do that. But it looks all right. It does look all right. I'm not massively anticipating it, but it could be just a bit of throwaway fun. Do you know what I mean?
Is throwaway fun worth £40 of your money?
No, definitely probably not. I don't imagine it's going to review that well somehow, but I could be wrong.
I mean, people liked Heavy Rain, but like, how many people play Heavy Rain now?
No one.
Is it going to have legs? Is it going to be around when the apocalypse happens?
Doubtful. There is another one. If you go a bit further up, there's another one called Summer Camp coming out, which is another sort of 80s slasher-based game. Now, interestingly, the difference between this is Summer Camp is going to actually have a multiplayer where you have to play the slasher. So you get to play as a serial killer.
Dude.
Surely, I think the scripted events aren't going to be as good in
Fallout 3.
Yeah, I do think that could make it a little bit more interesting. Do you know what I mean? That you right. become the yeah. killer.
You want to be a serial killer. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, it's got to be interesting, isn't it? If you're the one going around picking off the other
Duke,
players.
I think we have that for the record. So when the police come.
Yeah, really. There he is, officer.
I think we need to move on. Yes. But yeah, that looks kind of cool. That does look kind of cool. So yeah, I'm probably a bit more interested in that if I'm being really honest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah. So yeah, so it could be cool. Could be cool summer camp. So okay, yeah, okay. That's maybe more, one to watch out.
More news. There's quite a bit of news, I suppose.
There is quite a bit of news this week, actually.
Okay, yes. The Witcher 3. Guess what?
I don't know. What could it be?
It's doing pretty well.
It's doing all right. It's doing all right.
I tell you what, shall we take this time to do a top 10 of the UK hit, like the games this week?
Wow, we never do this. We never do this. What is going on?
We never do this. Okay. At number 10, it's Destiny.
Still there.
Ironically, a game that didn't have a Destiny for its story. Whoop-pow! At number 9, it's Kevin Spacey Simulator, Call of Duty. At number 8, it's Mortal Kombat Death Simulator. At 7, it's Battlefield Duke Line. At number 6, it's Wolfenstein and Duchneinen. At number 5, it's a game that doesn't sound like it should actually be called this. It's like, wow, you actually called your game this. Are you serious? It's Project Cars. At number 4, it's
Now, just can I just stop you there for just 1 second while we're talking on FIFA?
On number 4. Now, hold on.
I need to ask you.
You know the funny thing about Earth, Stu,
yeah.
is that yeah. there are men on Earth. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what else there is on Earth?
I don't know. What else is there? I can see where you're going. I'm liking the segue.
Not all humans are male.
No, they're definitely not.
Right. I'm just letting you know, there's a big thing, right? I found this out the other day. There is a different gender. No. There are females.
There are females.
So that's a thing, you know, in FIFA.
Yep.
I know.
Is there a corruption simulator?
Yes.
Tested the officials?
The next edition of Football Manager is where you can literally go to jail if you play it.
That's brilliant. But yes, female teams have been added. The women's teams have been added to the new FIFA. I think it's great. I really do. It's about time, is what I'd say.
Only if they got paid the same, but never mind.
And if they got the same sort of coverage on the TV and all that sort of stuff, which they don't. And England's got a pretty good women's team, from what I can gather. So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Better than the shitty blokes that we have.
Shitty blokes. At number 3, it's a game that promotes violence. Which is Grand Theft Auto, which is probably the best game ever made.
It does not. Get away with it.
There's no violence in it. At number 2 is a game that I seriously, seriously considered getting. Farming Simulator 15, everyone.
I've heard lots of good things about this. People are loving this game.
I know. I've watched Twitch streams of this, and Tara's walked in
people
going,
love this game.
I think we need to talk. And at number one is The Witcher 3. So The Witcher 3, open world role playing game, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt has scored the biggest UK release of the year so far, smashing Battlefield Hardline's week one sell through by an impressive 53%. Launch week sales were up 608%, and other numbers like 702 were also involved somehow, somewhere. The Witcher 2, Assassins of Kings, is another game that existed in time.
Ooh, time. I heard about that.
Yep.
Fantastic. All right, any other news?
Any other news? That's good.
Who does the bell toll for?
Anything else?
I'm guessing there's no more news.
There's other news.
Twitch has banned adult-only rated games.
Sorry?
Yeah,
If you want to watch games such as Hatred or...
That's kind of it. No,
that's something else.
Watch it.
That's pretty much...
No, that seriously is, at the moment, the only adult-only rated game.
Yeah, just in time for Hatred, an upcoming video game about a dude who goes around mindlessly slaughtering everyone. The video website Twitch announced last night that users will no longer be able to stream games that are adult-only by ESRB. It's a curious move by Twitch, which was purposely... which was purchased... Sorry, I don't know what happened there. Which was purchased last year by Amazon for $970 quintillion dollars or something like that. Although, in practice, this ban will have very little effect. Very few games actually get an AO rating. It's clearly designed to prevent people from streaming Hatred, which comes out tomorrow. Really people who pre-ordered it.
Why didn't you just go... We're not allowed. Mind you, I guess it's. Yeah, I don't know how they would do that.
Because
but they could
want, right, because they don't want to be seen as.
They won't go. Just, we're banning Hatred right. from Twitch. If you're trying to, you know, stream Hatred, we're going to ban your ass.
Luckily for Twitch, there isn't some other video uploading service where people can play this and upload it to, so.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, unless YouTube also bans adult only games as well, who knows?
Gotta get those clicks. Gotta get those motherfucking clicks. Frag dolls is a thing where Ubisoft said men like women. Let's put a lot of women that can play games very well together to sell games. They're gone. Bye.
Really?
Yep.
That's interesting.
They did a goodbye letter. Do you want to hear it?
No, that's all right.
I can read it. Read some of it if you like. Do you want to read?
But I have a feeling that you're going
to
read.
Do you want to read some of it? It's massive. I'm not going to read all of it because it's huge. But they basically said the Fragdolls team, after almost 11 years, 22 team members, and who knows how many games played together, is finally being retired. When the team was created back in 2004, we weren't really sure what the Fragdolls should be and certainly never imagined what it would become. But we knew that it hinged upon the common misconception that video games were boys' toys. The essential appeal of the Fragdolls emerged from those delightful moments of surprise when people discovered that women like us not only loved video games, but we were really good at it. This wasn't a surprise. Blah 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 blah. So there you go.
I'm really not all that bothered.
No. So finally gone anyway. There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Is that kind of it? Is that everything?
That's I don't it.
Think there's a lot. Yep. Anything else? Any super quick news? Is there any super quick news amongst it?
Ratchet and Clank is getting a move and it includes Chinny Star Crush.
There you go.
Who's that?
Who is it?
Is it Idris Elba?
Oh, Rosario Dawson.
Because Idris Elba was the sort of you know that everybody's got that guy as a straight man.
Oh yeah.
Everybody's like, hey, I'm a straight man.
Yeah.
I am comfortable with my sexuality, but man, that is a good looking dude.
Yeah.
But this is a female, Rosario Dawson.
Right. Hubba hubba.
She's very nice.
She's a good actor. Too bad she had to be in.
Tara doesn't like her. She thinks she looks like a lesbian. She's like, I don't like her. She looks stupid. I don't
know. Okay.
I don't know. Is that like the jealousy talking, do you think?
I think she's jealous, yeah. It's like, cause every time she's on screen, I'm like,
she's definitely jealous, hubba. Isn't she?
Hubba.
Brilliant. Anything else? Any other super quick news? There was a few super quick news stories. Come on, what else is there?
I've got to keep reading the news until I read out the thing that Stu wants me to read out, which I'm guessing is the fucking Oculus Rift that's going to be a fad like Guitar Hero and stupid bullshit is going to cost around about $1,500.
That's it. We're including the PC you need to run
including,
it. On,
sorry, okay. Yeah, I missed it. And including the PC to run it, which some people already have anyway, is going to cost $1,500.
Yeah, so if you were starting from scratch, you'd have to spend about, you know, $1,500 to get an Oculus Rift up and running on a PC. Oh, blah, 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 blah. So what they're saying is the actual working it out, the headset's going to be about $400 to $500 for an Oculus Rift.
Damn!
That's how much it's going to cost just for the headset without the PC. Because he reckoned to run it, you need about $1,000.
Yeah,
PC.
But it'll totally be worth it.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm having second thoughts, I have to
good.
Say. I know. I'm kind of, I know. I'm saying that now. And then it'll come out like for pre-order. But I still, having looked into it, I probably haven't got... my graphics card, as good as it is, probably still isn't quite good enough. It'll probably run, but it wouldn't be...
So you're saying, Stu, that... How long ago did you buy that graphics card, Stu?
Only about 3 weeks ago, I guess.
Right, okay. And,
oh, that's
and you're saying...
PC time.
Out of date? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not out of date.
No. Come on, no. Because I can still play games on it. But,
No, listen. Because you do, for the Oculus Rift, what you've got to understand is you've got to run two separate screens at 1080p at the same time.
Two tiny little screens.
Two tiny little screens. But
why
they also
so
have
hard
to be...
Tiny, that's like 200 by 200 resolution.
At about 90 frames a second.
Ridiculous.
Is what it's got to run at on two screens simultaneously.
Why should I have to run it there? That's so dumb.
Because what they've found is that the faster the frame rate, the less likely the viewer's going to get the motion sickness thing going on.
Well, you know what? As soon as you start talking about motion sickness, I'm done.
I know. So, yeah, that's kind of why they need it to run at that sort of speed.
If it's 61 frames or less, the person using it instantly vomits inside their Oculus Rift.
Even though it doesn't cover your mouth, they vomit inside it. Oh, brilliant. I think that really is it for the news this week. So thank you, Chinny, as always.
There you go. I read out the piece of news that Stu wanted me to read out. We're done.
Well, there isn't any other super quick news. You just say it. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Right, okay, let's do some emails. We have got some. Lovely.
Whoa, that ruled.
Sometimes. I wonder how we have.
I know, I wonder who even listens, let alone sends us emails. but the first, oh my goodness me. The first one is off a new emailer. New emailer.
Is it from the Snicker Man?
Here comes the Snicker Man.
Yeah.
No.
Kid.
No, it isn't. It's from Chris Freitas. I think it's Chris Freitas.
Oh, yeah.
And he's entitled the email Accolades.
Oh, Accolades. I heard about them.
I know. He says, hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah, Chinny, you're just rubbish. You're just rubbish. He says, anyway, just wanted to say thanks for the show. I've been listening for about a year. I've just added you guys to my friends on the Xbox One. Okay. I'm looking forward to running around Elder Scrolls Online as a conjuring archer, Khajiit. And I'll
Khajiit.
Call him...
God oh, damn it, Stu. Learn how to speak English.
All right, okay. Then. online as a conjuring archer, Khajiit.
There you go.
Khajiit. And I'll call him Old Thunder Pussy. thanks again, Chris Freitas. And he is Xbox Gamertag, if anyone wants to add him. Because, he'll
play the Elder Scrolls Online on the Xbox One?
Yeah, it's coming out on the Xbox
One. Yeah, but nobody's going to buy it.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Anyway.
Ooh. Shots fired.
Yes, I'm all right, Duchess.
His gamertag is XBL Darf Daddy.
Okay.
So there you go, another daddy in the title. So there you go. So thank you for that. And
sounds like something a little
Darth Vader was a daddy.
Yeah. And we've got, oh my Jesus, we've got two off Jason Gollaher this week. One's a very short one where he says, "Veteran gamers, action figures, Beastie Boys online store."
What?
He says, bomb, 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 ba, bomb. All I really want is, and then he's given us a link to kingsroadmerc.com, and you can buy Beastie Boys action figures for charity.
Okay.
So there you go, along with t-shirts, watches, and other paraphernalia. Who'd want one? Yeah. This is the description. The super limited edition figures are originally released only in Japan back in 99, designed for Nigo Bappe Billionaire Boys Club. These later appearance in the video, Don't Play No Game That I Can't Win, available now to everyone, with all proceeds going to some foundation or some lemonade stand thing. They're 11.5 inches tall and come complete with extra outfits and accessories.
I'm the cat with the bass and drum going around like bum bum bum.
Anyway, he finishes, you've got to fight for your right to play with the VG dolls. If the Beastie Boys can pull it off in $750, you guys could easily get 75 cents. I mean, thank you for that. I mean, what can I say to that? What can you say? Anyway, he does finish off with another proper email. He says, Chinny sets up the very first free-to-play ARG wedding. He said, I have enjoyed some great free entertainment. When game developers know how to market their games, they pull me in every time. Jenny LeClue's teaser on iOS right now, the main game looks very promising. The Silent Age first episode was sort of free, PT free while it lasted. I'd say the teaser did a great job. Very well done. Night in the Woods developers gave us Lost Constellation, though you could donate. It was brilliant. Cardboard Computer gave us Kentucky Route Zero's very perfect limits and demonstrations, as well as the entertainment and a third free experience here and there along the Echo. What a great phone call that was. Best game ever. Even Simogo has joined in the mix with their Christmas gift and lent talent to the free iOS game Does Not Commute. Back to PT. It was all right, but the ghosts in the White Knight are far more terrifying. Check out White Knight, regardless of the daddy's uninformed opinion of the game. Duke, have you played Sunset, The Magic Circle, or Why Am I Dead at Sea?
Nope.
I'm just a guinea pig before I hit the purchase button. Meanwhile, inside Stu's head, this game is all right, not great, kind of shit, but game of the year, baby. I wish you would play Chapstick's love song for me again. I'm feeling a bit horny tonight. Is Ginny ever going to buy me lunch? Probably McDonald's is cheaper than Duke. Didn't even invite me to the wedding. Kind of bored with Life is Strange and Witcher. Is this pathetic email over yet? For God's sake, I'm about to shit myself. Ginny, are you still trying to figure out what an ARG wedding is?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't think so. So, but regardless, Duke and Stu are still researching it. I never get to watch you guys stream, so I watch Naysayer 88 and Hide Fininja. Fininja? I don't know. Hidi Fininja? I don't know. Anyway, Naysayer is actually Jonathan Blow, and his streams are very interesting. He loves it when I troll. Hidi Fininja is just a normal dude, as far as I can tell, but all round nice guy, and he plays interesting games sometimes. Do you guys recommend any streamers? PS Farts and Kisses, Jason. So
I recommend no streamers.
Chinny probably does. Who do you recommend, Chinny?
Well, G4TE, they stream.
Of course. Yeah.
Of course. Let's have a look.
That was like a virtual prod of Duke for about 2 minutes. Anyway. Any other streamers that you can recommend, Chinny? See, you watch Twitch quite a lot, don't you? If you don't got any Twitch streamers you like,
hold on. I like a guy called The One Jat.
All right, what's he do?
And he follows us as well. He plays all sorts of, he plays a lot of Binding of Isaac.
I like Langdon Auger. I have no idea who that is. No one does. He's very shy and likes puzzles. But that still doesn't mean you can tell anybody.
Lisa Simpson.
That's true.
So
yeah.
There's another guy called Daniel from SL. And SL stands for Second Life. And what this guy does, he purposely trolls people. So he goes on things like Second Life or DayZ, and he pretends to have like food or shelter, and he says, come with me. And this one guy just follows him. He goes, oh, thank you. Come with me. and he keeps running, right? And then he just pretends that he's stuck on a tree. He's like, oh, I'm stuck on this tree. I can't do anything.
That's awesome.
And then he gives them water, and it's poison. And he goes, I'm thirsty. Here, have some more water. And there's this one guy where he's stuck in a house. He's stuck in a house, right? And he's set up traps everywhere, right? So this guy spawns back into this house, and he breaks all his legs, and he can't move. He has to crawl, and there's no way of killing himself. So he just has to slowly crawl out of the house towards a cliff and roll off. And all the way through it, this guy's Scottish, and he goes, "You fucking tricked me! You fucking tricked me! You put these traps here, and you fucking tricked me!" And this other guy comes. And who hasn't seen any of this, and says, oh, you know, what happened to you? And he says, this fucking guy tricked me. And the guy who's trolling him, Daniel, saying, I don't know what he's talking about. He's been really mean to me. And this stranger starts backing the troll, saying, you've got to calm down. He says, what are you talking about? Calm down. This fucking prick fucking tricked me. And he says, he's going to kill you as soon as he fucking kills me, and you fucking dead. And so Daniel from SL is one of the guys. In Second Life, what he does, there's this guy, and a lot of people try and make money from Second Life. Right?
Oh, God.
So,
no sympathy for people who try to make money off Second Life.
So there's this guy, and he sells territory, you know, I think terrain and all sorts of stuff. And you have to, I don't know what you have to do. You have to agree to something, then you have to click this thing before you agree or something. But he kept on clicking the wrong thing, essentially. And the guy was going apeshit. He says, can you not click that, please? He says, what, this? Click. Yes, don't click it. Click. This one, click. So you say, click it. No, don't click it. Click. And then he goes into somebody's house in Second Life. And they're all having some sort of meeting and stuff. They're all from different walks of life, different accents and all stuff. And he says, can you get out of my house, please? And he goes, I just want to walk around. You are not welcome into this house. You don't just walk around into somebody's stranger's house. He goes, I just want to walk around. Hello? You know, and he's just being really polite. So I think Daniel from SL is very good. Giant Bomb are very good. I do enjoy Giant Bomb. They're very funny. Kind of funny. They're good.
Daniel, it reminds me a bit of when, you know, when Fraser Moores was playing Rust, and he was fishing, when he was doing
like
the fishing
thing. A whole channel dedicated to doing it. He's on YouTube as well, so you can watch a lot of the stuff on there. Because obviously his YouTube channel is basically like the best bits of what he's done, so it's probably better to watch him on YouTube. But it's funny. Who else? Yeah, you know, like I say, the one Jat, Daniel from Second Life, Giant Bomb, Game for the Elderly, there's a few others as well. That's it, really.
That's it.
There you go.
Destination Gamer as well, that he streams a lot, so I follow Destination Gamer. And
There you go.
Another one.
Right, we have got another updated iTunes review, so I guess we should do that.
Yo, you want them iTunes reviews? You got to.
Now, right, here's the thing. When I said we want iTunes reviews, what we don't want is the same person re-reviewing every week.
I don't know. Okay. You keep reading them out. What are people?
That is cool. That is cool in a way, but we'd rather have some additional ones rather. And in light of what he's put this time, you know what I mean? It's becoming a bit droll, is all I'm saying. Okay.
Yes.
Because this review is still 5 stars, and it's by Pilch Reed yet again. Okay. And he's put meh. This show is so lame. If it were a horse, they would shoot it. 5 stars.
Dude.
There you go.
I mean, what? I don't know what to say.
Say thank you.
I guess thank you for re-reviewing.
Stop it.
Again, I preferred the snap, crackle, and pop, if I'm being honest. You know what I mean? I preferred that. Then the show is lame. You know what I mean? But I guess you got to get what you get.
There you go.
I prefer any review where they refer to me as being the best one.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often, to be honest.
Right.
Right. Anyway, yeah, I know that's a killer. We should do some shout outs and get the hell out of
It's time for a shout out.
Hey!
Hada!
Again. How do we have listeners? How?
I have not a frigging clue, honestly. I wonder that every time we do the show. How do people continue to listen to this stuff? Who knows? Yeah, I'm going to shout out Bongo tonight. Bongo the Insane. Because I've got to say, he's been building his computer. Have you seen this?
Nope.
Have you seen the pictures of his computer? I've got to say, it's pretty damned impressive looking, that thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, so he's doing a good job.
Really. Just give it 3 weeks and he can't play the office.
Well, it didn't even take 3 weeks, to be fair. He's already had problems with one of the hard drives that he's got, so he's had to get that exchanged, I think. So it's actually not working at the moment. So he's built his computer and stuff, and he's had to send a part back to Amazon, and they're sending him a new one out to replace it. So he's got to wait till that comes, from what I can gather, before he can start using it. But that all being said, it does look pretty impressive. So good on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Good on him. And I think that's kind of it for my shout-outs. I don't think really I've got anyone else to shout out, really. You know? What are you doing?
Clapping.
I can hear you. Right, anyway, seeing as you're clapping the person with clap, yeah, give us your shout-outs.
Jesus, I didn't think anybody else was in that email channel. The people that I will shout out are Microsoft.
Okay.
Because
why would you shout out a massive company?
Because I've got my free copy of ODST this week, motherfucker.
How is it?
I haven't played it. I haven't even played Master Chief Collection yet.
That's because you were broken.
So I'll shout out Microsoft. Fans of the show. Thank you very much.
They are the listeners. All the time. Major Nelson often shouts us out on this show.
Yeah, that's true. I will shout out Stu Lecky for being one of the first people to reply to my new watch tweet. And that's about it, really. I haven't really got many shout outs this week.
Well, you're not going to shout out Tara for getting said watch?
I would, but she doesn't listen.
You're in trouble now.
I shout out Tara every day in life.
Okay then.
I'm trying to back my way out of this.
I know. You're in the shit, mate, if she listens. I'm gonna send her a tweet to listen. I'll go, you definitely need to listen to the shout out on this week's show. Anybody else, or is that it?
That's it.
Over to you, Duke.
I will shout out Antonio Phillips because he sent us a sound file and Stu forgot about it.
Oh, I did, but you remembered. I told you to remember.
Yeah,
to
don't worry. I always remember the important things.
Well, let's hear it then.
I'm not going to play it.
Oh, come on. You've got to play it.
What is going on, guys? GH Rocker here.
Hey, what's going on, GH Rocker? How you doing? Good. All right, then.
You a little voice message in from work, actually.
No, you're supposed to be working, not sending voice messages to stupid podcasts.
I'm gonna speak pipe, but it didn't work, unfortunately.
It works fine. You just did something wrong. It's your fault.
No, why? I tried.
I don't think you tried very hard.
The reason I'm messaging in is about The Witcher 3, because I said on Twitter that I'm not really enjoying it.
That's right, you did. And everyone...
Yeah, what does he know? Jesus Christ.
And those were my first impressions.
Oh, now they were his first impressions.
I'm listening. I will live and die by this review. I'm listening.
I was in now, and I thought I'd give my little opinion on it just to...
Go ahead, give your little opinion.
Clear the ground.
We're never going to get through this.
And I'm definitely enjoying it more.
All right, now you're enjoying it more, huh?
I'm liking the character interactions a lot. The combat, I'm kind of learnt now, although I haven't really learnt how to do any alchemy or brew or craft at all.
Well, then you're an idiot!
And I feel I'm really going to need that to survive and not die a lot in this game. But
also a silver sword.
I'm just...
Yeah, you do need that.
Now, and I'm not regretting the purchase. I'm a bit gutted I did get the digital version, though, instead of the standard version.
Yeah, because you don't have all the cool stuff that Stu has.
I didn't get the cool map or soundtrack or anything.
I just said that!
I have been playing recently Mortal Kombat X and, of course, The Witcher 3. And also been playing Persona 3 Portable on my PlayStation Portable because I have just fallen in love with the Persona series. And, Stu, you have a Vita. Please give it a go.
Give it a go, Stu.
I don't know.
He's not asking you. He's begging you.
I know.
Free 2 on sale right now on the PlayStation Store, and they are so worth the money. I think it's like £8 for Persona 3 Portable.
Oh, dude.
Because I spent $35 to get a disc copy of it.
God.
And although I'm not regretting the purchase, I kind of wish I waited and got that on my Vita. But thank you very much for listening. Hope you're having a great day. Have a great show, and farewell.
Yeah, thank you.
That was good. I like that.
Yeah.
That was
good stuff.
Right, let's just clear something up regarding The Witcher.
Okay.
As far as crafting goes, it isn't that complex. It basically, you pick up a lot of diagrams in the world.
Yeah.
So as you're looting chests or, you know, beating baddies, you'll get sort of diagrams to make stuff. Once you've got diagrams to make stuff, you basically go to a blacksmith. Some are sort of specialized in armor, some are specialized in weapons. You get the right blacksmith, give him your diagram. As long as you've got the components that you need to do it, he'll just build it for you. That's basically the premise of that. It's not that difficult to learn. And alchemy is kind of similar. You get all the sort of recipes. And again, if you've got all the right shit together, you can make your potions and oils and all that kind of crap. But again, it's not difficult to get your head around once you get used to it. So yeah, no biggies there. No biggies.
All right. Anyway, my shout outs are as follows. K Malik 68. Oh yeah, that's right. He said that he was way into this song. So I'm going to play a little bit from this song to say thank you. Let's sleep in today. Wake me up. Now, it's the middle of summer now, so it makes no sense to play that song now, but maybe if he's in Australia, then it'll be better. I will shout out the Kill On Sight website. They're a new part of the VG Hub site. Yay! So we now have a new member site on VG Hub, and that gives me an opportunity to play this. Where is it? Oh, yeah, here it is.
If you like this podcast,
and you do,
there is another site you should check out.
You should totally check it out.
VGHub.net. And VGHub.net. You find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Sound effects
are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many.
Come on, yeah. Some might say that.
No one says that.
And of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
Any other friends.
So check it out. VGHub.net is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.
Yeah, and now you can link up to Kill On Sight. Whatever that is. Big Bad Daddy. I will shout him
whatever
out.
Hunting in Sky. Apparently they're going to be streaming Hatred.
And the are they really?
No.
Oh. And the Lusty Argonian Maid. He got that right away. Although I realized that as soon as I sent it that the first comment in the imager thing was the name of it. And I was like, that spoils the fun. But I don't think he needed that. I think he got it right away. So that's what you get for being a big fan of the lore of the Elder Scrolls.
Nerd!
And Chris MJW now owns the game Night Sky. So enjoy that, Chris MJW. I hope you love it as much as I do because it's a great game.
Well, it is for the first like half an hour until you find something frustrating about it.
Really? That game is not frustrating. You just
until you find something you don't really like too much, and then it's like, this is
you're
shit.
Just a loser.
That's it. Is that it? Is that everything? Are we all done?
Ding dong. What's
ding
that?
Dong,
it's
ding.
A bell.
What's the bell toll for?
Indeed.
All right, ball's body.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody.
Good Newton.
Duke, Jesus Christ.
What?
My brain.
What about your brain?
When you play two songs at once.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never done that. Fine, I won't play two songs at once ever again on this show tonight. All right, that song's over. Here's another one.
That sounded like Mortal Kombat.
It does sound like...
Yeah, it did. It did sound like Mortal Kombat.
You know what else sounds like Mortal Kombat?
What, Mortal Kombat?
Warblard! Just going to go around playing all these different sound effects. Oh, boy. I did not grade as many papers as I should have.
Oh, no. What were you paying attention for?
I know, right?
Shit, what's all that about? Jesus Christ.
I know, right? I'm a bad person paying attention.
Oh, yeah. So, Chinny, tomorrow... you need to go to a shop, you know, that specializes in video games.
Shop.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to tell me to buy Witcher 3 tomorrow.
Of course. Excuse me. Geez. Can I have a copy of Red Dead Witcher 3, please? That'd be
boots.
Great.
Fuck off.
Should have gone to Specsavers.
Yeah. I don't sell it there either.
I bought an umbrella yesterday. How about that?
Did you? Well,
I was thinking
like, then,
about buying an umbrella the other day.
I need to buy new shoes too because I got holes in mine, and if
I'll tell you what,
my socks get wet.
I was looking at those. Have you seen these weird beach
Jesus
umbrellas?
Christ, dude, spend some money, will you?
Well,
I'd say. Have you seen these weird beach umbrellas? Have you seen these?
No.
So it's basically like it looks a bit like a golfer's umbrella, right? But quite big. And then it's got flaps on the side that you can, like, peg into the beach so you can use it as, like, a sunshade.
Okay.
Right. It's just the weirdest looking thing ever. It's just like a brolly.
I don't believe you. I don't believe that's the weirdest thing looking thing ever. I feel that's a sort of moderately unusual, but not the weirdest thing ever.
I think a 7
No, it's not the weirdest thing ever.
20 eyeballs would be the weirdest looking thing ever.
Yeah.
But this umbrella comes close. This umbrella looks a lot like...
My dad constantly says... this phrase, I've never seen anything like it in my life. So my dad just wanders around, constantly surprised at everything.
Oh my God, look at that tree!
I've never seen anything like it in my life! I was
except
like,
every other tree I've ever seen.
By the way,
cars. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Like, it's an RC car, but bigger, Dad. You have seen something like it in your life. It's called a car.
You're in for a treat, by the way, Chinny, when you do get around eventually to listening to last week's show.
Nah.
Why?
Because I was asked to do a Birmingham accent whilst reading the news.
Jesus.
And it
Christ.
Was just really, really terrible.
See, you doing accents is always a bad idea.
I know. But he did, you know, it added some comedy, has to be said.
Oh, sorry. I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying.
It wasn't good. It was a bit of a train wreck, if I'm being really honest.
Pretty. So how much is The Witcher 3 these days?
Depends where you get it from,
I guess. I'm not going to get it cheap, am I?
I've seen it discounted a couple of times, though, to be fair. I have seen it discounted.
£44.
Just a minute.
£139, I don't think that's...
Yeah, that's probably a bit too cheap. Expensive, if I'm being honest. Anyway, we better go, actually. I don't know why we're doing this while we're still recording. So,
people tune in for the fun stuff.
I know, yeah. So,
part of the show.
Yeah, good night, everybody. And thank you for listening. As always, I'm going to stop the recording right now.